Amen. Dang. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to Restored Community Church. We are exceptionally glad you are here. Can we be exceptionally glad? Is that right? I kind of butcher grammar, so throw it at me anytime I mess things up. So this morning, we're going to continue on with the series that we've been preaching on prayer. And prayer for us is a big deal. We've called this series Conversations with the King, literally because scripturally, now that we are saved in Christ Jesus, we not only are saved and have a get out of jail or get out of fire free card, there's more to that. You guys realize, like, heaven is an amazing thing, right? We have hopes and promises, like everything Andy prayed, one day all of this garbage will be done and we will be set free. We'll be in the presence of the living God. All of our shame, all of our brokenness will be gone. Somebody say amen. I'll go find me some crazy Baptists down the street if y'all don't respond. So, amen. I like those people. All right. But the thing is like God's power, the kingdom of heaven doesn't just start then. The kingdom of heaven starts now. You are in the room full of the kingdom of heaven. Wherever God's people are is where God's kingdom reigns on earth. Your will be done. Your kingdom come on earth, in me, in us as it is in heaven. The major vehicle to connect to our heavenly Father is prayer. Scripture's talking, prayer is such this weighty thing for some of us. Oh, I've got to pray, and darn it, we're going to a prayer service, and I'm uncomfortable because I don't like to pray. That's just because your definitions are wrong. You don't understand. Prayer is not some obligatory thing that you do to make you feel like scum and something you need to overcome so you can do in public. Prayer is more than that. Prayer is literally conversations with the living King of heaven. And the scriptures say if we draw near to God, he draws near to us. And I say that like every week. And people roll their eyes like, hey, we've heard that before. Think about it. The God of heaven said, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. There ain't no woman, no financial status, no smack, no man can ever come close to filling your heart like the presence of God in your life. And so what I feel in my little 2-minute rundown of the earth that nobody cares about what my opinions are. What is the problem with American Christianity? Well, there's a lot of problems with American Christianity, but number one of them is that we've forgotten the source and given our lives over to religiousness. If we would just shut up a little bit and go back into the presence of God and see what God wants, what he says, what his heart, what his will is for my life, a lot of us would be changed deeply. A lot of us are believers, but a lot of us aren't set free. You hear what I'm saying? A lot of us love Jesus. Most of us are not baptized in the love and grace of Jesus. And because we have this chasm in between us, we have a hard time praying. And so this is what this whole series is about. Like, how do I learn? And the scriptures say something clear, like Jesus, the Lord, teaches us how to pray. We started with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, you know, that long, mundane thing that everybody can say in Catholic school, whatever it is. But this is an amazing prayer that teaches us how to pray for God's will, for his glory to come. How do we pray in our daily lives? And then last time we got together, we talked about what are some things that break my prayer with the Lord? What are some things that hinder my prayer from the Lord? There are things in me that can hinder my conversation with the Lord. Today, we're talking about prayer versus anxiety. It's a WWE SmackDown. It's like an MMA thing, right? It's like the Scottish anxiety and the King of Heaven SmackDown. How many of you watch that stuff? Okay, some of you do. You're not going to admit it in church. That's good. But here's the thing, and this is today's lesson is called Prayer That Reigns Over the Wickedness of Worry. No, Prayer That Reigns Over the Wickedness. It's like I have a magic finger. Every time I point at it, it changes. And so prayer, say it with me, prayer that reigns over the wickedness of worry. And here's what I love about today's message is this is absolute proof that not only should you feel led to pray, you need to pray. You need to talk to the living God of heaven. Amen? Everybody open your Bibles to Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It'll be up here on the thing behind me, but you can get out your little devices and act like you're not on Facebook. Make sure you check in this morning. We get publicity for free when you check in. So everybody check in right at this very second. I'm not kidding. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. If you need a Bible, if you actually still use those paper things, there's some there on the light stands next to you. Why do I always call them nightstands? My mind is messed up. When you get there, say amen. If not, say hold on. And it is literally right behind me. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. This is Paul talking to the Philippian church, and it's just our text, and we're not going to go real far beyond these two texts today. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be, say it, anxious about anything. Yeah, whatever. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, I got to tell you the truth. When I read this text, I go, I check out. You ever read things that are hard in the Word and you just start to check out? Like, oh, that's great. Oh, love my enemy. Oh, yeah, I'll get onto that next decade, right? And so you read over these things in the Scriptures, but for me, coming back to this one, honestly, this is life-changing for most of us. How many of us in this room would say that you deal with some kind of anxiety or worry? How many of you would say you really battle? Let's be honest. How many of you really battle with anxiety and worry? How many, when you read this text, if you were going to be honest, you go, mm-hmm, you're right. Yeah, don't raise your hand, Rico. I saw you back there, dog. So here's the boom of our conversation today. And those of you who are new, the boom is this. It's just the big idea that I want you to take home. Is this. It's like worry is an enormous problem that plagues us all. It is sin and needs to be overcome in our lives. Prayer is the way we overcome our worry and become people who walk in supernatural peace. Let's tear down this verse together, and we'll start walking through this. Verse 6, just to read it again, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. So let's talk about this. This beginning little section, these first 6 words, do not be anxious about anything. The meat of our conversation today is right here. So what is worry? I'm going to read this little thing to you. Worry refers to a troubled state of mind resulting from certain about current or potential difficulties. It comes from an old English word that means to strangle. Everybody say strangle. It was used to refer to the practice of wolves killing sheep by biting them around the neck, thus strangling their prey to death. Let me read that again. It is used to refer to the practice of wolves killing sheep by biting them around the neck, thus strangling their prey to death. This is literally the picture scripturally of what worry does to your life. How many can testify to this? Amen. It will strangle you physically and spiritually, and it will choke life right out of you. How many can testify? Amen. I keep asking that question. It's good. So let me share a little bit of my battles. Many of you have heard me talk about this. Something happened in a very early age when I was a kid, and it came out of a lot of brokenness and, you know, step-parents and neglect and all this crazy stuff, living in crazy neighborhoods. I told you that I grew up in Southern California where the Night Stalker was in my neighborhood. Everybody remember that dude, Richard Ramirez in the 80s? Any guy with the pentagram on his hand, son of Satan kind of dude in the middle of court. Something started happening to me when I was little. With all this brokenness in my life, I went from losing my innocence. I was a pretty innocent little kid. And as time went on, innocence seemed to be like sucked out of my life. And all of a sudden, I found myself thinking, laying awake in bed at night, thinking and thinking and thinking. And then my thinking became like very cancerous. Something started to happen in my brain where I started to worry about, I was consumed with, what if someone breaks into my house? I went to school with a lot of gangsters. What if I go to school and I'm on the wrong side of the field today, or I'm walking home alone again and I'm not with my guys, and I would start to hear planes, and I would swear for some reason that airplanes were going to land. We were right over the flight path for Edwards Air Force Base when I was a kid. And so these huge, weird jets would fly over like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I would just spaz out. And I would literally get up and run into my room. As I got older, my mom's room. And as I got older, this worry thing started to take root in me more and more and more. I started to become socially, handicapped in my thought process. Everywhere I went, I was a big guy. And so a worry started to set in on that. It was extremely heavy. Everywhere I went, there was worry to do this. And if I talked to someone, there was worry to do this. And what was I going to do about my kids later on when I started having kids? Worry. Worry, worry. And then I began to build walls around everything and anything in my life. I would build walls to protect my chasm of worry. Still to this day, after I became a believer, I thought, yeah, I've got Jesus. And the weird thing is, like, I get worried about the stupidest things. And so for a lot of you, you can testify, like me dying, I can die. It's funny. When it comes to death, I don't get worried about someone taking my life for Jesus. I'm ready. But when I have a little mole on my chest, my mind starts to go, and I'm to the doctor 17. WebMD and me are best buddies, right? Oh my gosh, I think I've got pancreatitis, tophaceolitis. I don't even know what that is. It's not even a thing, but I'm sure I've got it, right? Or things start going wrong with my back and I will freak out. But when it comes to someone lopping my head off, as far as I know, I've got songs ready in my head to sing while they're taking my life for Jesus. I'm not worried about rough people beating me up, shooting me, any of these things. But on this other hand, I have these weird little specks of worry in my life that kind of like consume me. And so when I came a believer, I was like, yes, these things are going to be overtaken. And all of a sudden, I woke up praising Jesus and still worried about everything. Anybody else testify in this room? And so this text for me in reading through the scriptures, for a lot of believers, worry paralyzes us, right? How many of you lay awake and think about what's going on with your kids? And for some of you that did time in jail, man, what if I screw up and I go back? You're like consumed by this. And what of you that are set free from dope and you wonder, man, if I make one slip, I'm going to run back. And some of you are worried about your spouse. What if he cheats? What if she cheats? What if we never get married? What if we do this? What if I da-da-da-da? What if? And you're plagued with that. And here's the problem. It's like when what ifs consume your mind, it becomes idolatry. You hear me? It becomes the root of what controls you and not you walking in the submission of the living God in heaven. Amen? Now, here's the funny thing. Some of these things are completely legit. This text doesn't say, don't be a moron, don't worry, be happy, listen to Bobby McFerrin lame songs from the 80s and walk around smiling and giggling all the time. Don't worry, right? Yeah, thanks. I appreciate your support. See, the Bible is not ignorant to life being hard. Job 14:1, Job says this, man who is born of a woman is few of days and full of trouble. John 16:33 says, I have said these things, this is the words of Jesus, that in me you may have peace, but in the world you will have tribulation. The absence of worry is not the absence of problems. Hear what I said? The absence of worry is not the absence of problems. How many of you got problems? Got 99 problems and not worrying of them ain't one. Well, that was lame. Sorry. That was pretty lame. So here's the thing. There becomes a thing in you. There's a difference between concern and worry. Everybody say concern. Everybody say worry. You're not supposed to be a mindless, to be a Christian is not to be a mindless idiot that smiles all the time and acts like everything is always okay, right? If you know those believers, how many of you know those believers? Because they scare the living daylights out of me. My house is on fire and the kids got taken away and I'm getting divorced. There's a lot of those folks that walk around like that, like nothing happens. Christians are called to mourn, and we are called to have deep desire and concern about things that go on in society. But there's this big difference in us when things go from concern. It's like me and my kids. I love my kids. I have deep concern for my children. I want them to love Jesus. I want them to serve. I don't want them to be in and out of jail more than 4 or 5 times in their life. Amen? I have some very lofty goals. I don't want them to do this, but the minute that those thoughts about what's going to happen to my kids begin to overrun my heart, it becomes worry. When my concern for my children, when my concern for my job, when my concern for our money, when my concern for the things that I'm supposed to take care of become the thing that is driving my mind, I cross a bridge and it becomes sin and it becomes an idol. Everybody hear what I'm saying? Amen. I got this thing I'm going to set up there for you. So what is the bottom line difference between worry and concern? It is how you position God in the relationship to your trouble. Shut him out of the loop and you worry, and you had better worry. But mentally put God between you and your problems and you have concern. But the problem is not hopeless because God is your hope. Hear what I'm saying? Worry, concern, issues, problems, where is the Lord in your thought process? Where is Jesus planted in the middle of my heart to see my children succeed? I remember this story about Dr. Davis used to tell about his mom. Dr. Davis is my spiritual pappy mentor guy. His mom, he was selling dope when he was a teenager, and he was a Jehovah's Witness. He was selling dope. He went from dope selling to Jehovah's Witness to born-again Christian. I'd never seen anybody work that progression before. It was very unique. But his mom was a God-fearing, crazy woman for the Lord. She couldn't even read, but she was this woman who raised. Her husband died very young, and she raised 8 kids by herself. Broke as a joke, but completely faithful woman. And when he started acting wayward, she's always inspired my heart. And a lot of you have heard me talk about this before. She used to go to her son and she'd say, "You know what? I love you. I have prayed for you. I have taught you what you need to know. You are ticking me off, but the Lord is going to catch up with you. I release you to him." Imagine that. A mama talking about her son she loved. He was her baby. And she told him, "Listen, you are acting like a fool. The Lord is in control, and he's going to get you. I'm just going to keep praying." That is always personified for me what the difference is between concern and worry. You see, she was in the middle of this battle with her son. Did she love her son? Yes. Was she consumed with what happened in her future? Did she want him to die? Did she want him to be a drug addict? Did she want him to be someone that sold dope? The answer was no. But she was not going to let his actions destroy her walk in faith in Jesus. She was going to give him to the Lord. And she's gone to be with the Lord now. She has always inspired my heart, and I always hope and pray that I can be that kind of parent. Amen? And I need Jesus for that. So why is worry a sin? Let's think about a couple things. Number one, because the Scriptures tell us not to worry. Amen? If you ever want to know a good relationship of why something is a sin, it is a deal. And here's the big thing for us. It's like many of us have these worry battles. I'll just confess, many of us have these worry battles, and I don't think about it from a sin perspective. You understand what I'm saying? I will say things like, "Man, I'm really worried. Man, I'm really worried. Man, I'm really worried. Man, I'm really worried." And I'll be consumed with it. And in my head, I will pray for things like, "God, I'm worried about this. God, I need you to heal my back. I need you to straighten out my kids. I need you to take care of our money." But I'll never address the issue of what the problem is. I'm having a faith issue. You hear what I'm saying? I never come to it in the throne room like, "Oh my goodness, wait a minute, worry is actually sinful. Worry is idolatry. Worry puts something in the middle of me and my relationship with Jesus." Amen? Worry comes down to confidence in God. Everybody knows Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, right? It's on your coffee mugs. It's probably on your wall. You might have a t-shirt, right? "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding, and always acknowledge him, and he will make your paths," right? That is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not a Sunday school verse. This says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And when it says all of your heart, it means all of your possessions, all of your children, all of your time, all of your future, all of your addictions. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Here's a simple thing. As when God has spoken to me, but I will bring worry around and put it in the forefront, what I am saying, what I am communicating, whether, and I don't mean to communicate this, but what I am saying is, "No, you can't, Lord. No, you can't." And some of you would argue with that, but tell me why. When you have the promises of the God of heaven and have been set free by the Almighty God, and he has spoken his word into your life to have peace, that you would continually run something up and let it control your life. What is happening is that you might not be trusting the living God with whatever is in front of you. Here's some things in the Scriptures about what it says about how we are not to worry. Everybody knows this Sunday school verse, Matthew 6, 25 through 34. "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." Let me say that again, just in case you didn't get it. "Therefore, I tell you," let me talk to myself for a minute. "Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, than the body, than more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and let your heavenly Father, and yet your heavenly Father, he feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they are? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of your life? It is medically proven, and I have a doctor over here, hopefully he will back me up on this, but worry can actually steal days and hours from your life. Increases heart rate, stress, anxiety, does stuff in your brain. Literally, anxiety, worry can do things and rob you of your physical health, let alone your spiritual health. Amen? And why are you anxious about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what should we eat? What should we drink? What should we wear? What about my kids? Where do I go? How about my job? What am I going to do next month? How am I going to get set free of this thing? I just eisegeted. I just added to the scriptures. Forgive me. For the Gentiles seek after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom, the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Job 23:10 says, but he knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I will come out like gold. Psalms 37:23 says, the steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Let me tell you this. I have a faith problem. I don't know if you know this, but we live in a society that breeds worry. When you have fatherlessness at the core, when you have greed at the core, when you have the church being more consumed with bigness and money and stuff and not people, when we have poor people rotting on the streets, when drugs run rampant in our streets, when our nation is godless, I won't even get into that. You know how I feel about that. All of these happen. These things breed worry. Some of us were bred up in worry. Some of you come from such broken backgrounds and brokenness when you were little that you were bred in worry. How many of you can remember a season in your life when you seemed to lose innocence? And because of your alcoholic daddy, or because things were busted, or maybe time you got to college and you noticed that this is the real world, all of these things started breeding this storm of worry and distrust inside of your belly. That's innocence robbed of God's people. Our job is this, to see it for what it is. It is a break. And honestly, I think we live in a society, I live in a box that says, God can do many things. God has rescued me from the toils and the fire of hell, but I really don't know, if I'm going to be honest with you, I really don't know if God can release me from this thing that consumes my stupid mind. I've told you many times before, one of the greatest things I look forward to in heaven is not being with me. I hate me. Don't say that, you're a good person. No, I'm not. I'm saved by grace. But you know what happens when I walk into heaven? This thing goes down. And the glorious gift of rightness with God takes over. But the scriptures just said, on earth, it is possible on earth to live. If God commanded it in his word, not only does he want it to happen in your life, but number two, it can happen in your life. Do you realize that? We can be set free from the consuming fire of worry and doubt. Amen? The scriptures say God cares about what we go through. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And so I'm a battle mode bot. I'm a battle bot. I don't know if you know what that means, but I'm used to spiritual warfare in a way, and I should say this lightly because I'll get my face kicked in by the time I hit the parking lot. But we're used to going through hard seasons in life in my house. We're used to going through hard seasons of life in here. And doing that, over the years, I have gotten this mindset that whatever comes, we're going to go through it and we're going to glorify the living God. And that is true. But for some of us, the problem that comes with that is we actually start to lose touch and hope with that God actually cares about what I'm going through. God is actually with me in the fire. The Lord is a heavenly Father who loves to be in presence with me and actually walk me through. It's not like he's saying, go, make it through to the other side and I'll see you over there. You're going to come out like a robot for the kingdom. God doesn't work that way. It says, cast your anxieties on him because he cares about you, because he wants to bear the weight with you. He wants to walk through and hold the line with you. He doesn't go just around us. He goes with us. Hear what I'm saying? He goes with us. You were not made to carry. Not only should you not, because it's a command, you're not made to carry these things. When you're carrying the yoke of life and the worries and trials, you are not carrying the yoke of Christ. You hear me? And that is the devil's objective. What else would he do? Make us live in a society that's so rich in technology and stuff. Everything is so fast. If I wait more than 3 minutes in line at Taco Bell, I get ticked off. Anybody else? Some of you are more patient. You're like 5-minuters, right? And even then, you take the bag with a half smile on your face. That's you. I can see it in this room. Here's what Psalms 55:22 says. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Here's the thing about life, especially with prayer. When it comes, it comes. Amen? It's not going to not come. Does that make any sense? Junk is coming. Heaviness is coming. Death is coming. Persecution is coming. Political things are coming. Every one of our political candidates, God help us, are coming, right? Short money falls, things you didn't expect. The phone's going to ring, right? One of these days, the phone's going to ring. You're going to pick up the phone, and on the other end is going to be hell itself trying to break you. Amen? Am I wrong? Those things are promised. They're actually promised to happen. The point of it is, where do you go with those things? Because if I could look around the room and you can just look at me, you see Rob Dans. But spiritually, what you will see is me carrying weight after weight after weight after weight of worry that I am trying. And I was not made to carry this stuff. I was made to carry the throne. The scriptures say, pick up your cross and follow me. The one thing in my life I'm supposed to carry is the cross of Christ. And when I have the cross of Christ walking in discipleship every day trying to be like Jesus, but I've got 6,000 pounds of my junk on me, what wanes? My cross carrying wanes. Amen? You understand what we're saying? So the scriptures say it comes, but the Lord is with you, and we're supposed to drop this stuff off. It's like this. I wish I could make some cheesy analogy where I'm taking UPS boxes over to the cross and laying them down. It'll change your life forever. That was the greatest sermon illustration I've ever seen in my life. So you just imagine however that looks in your head, because I'm not good at those. But literally, this is the point. We are his. We're in his hand. Garbage comes. My job, literally, plain and simple, carry it right there. Carry it right there. But it's going to come back tomorrow. Carry it right there. Carry it right there. Carry it right there. Go back to him over and over and over and over and over again. And there's no big little. Do you notice that in the end, you're good at getting rid of the bigs, but the littles you're not good of? And then what happens? You get 50 littles, and you've got a huge big. Did that make sense to anybody? All right, I'm glad. Stephanie, are we good? We're on this roll. Okay, Steph gave me the approval. I'm not looking at my wife because she's usually not approving. Okay, I'm just kidding. She's always approving. But instead of this worry that we just talked about, this is what the scripture says in the rest of verse 6. But in everything, everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. So the scriptures, when it talks about in there in that verse, it says, in everything, prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. I want you to look at those three words. So we have this worry. God says, don't worry. He says, but do this. You have this worry. Don't be anxious. Do this instead. Hear what I'm saying? Do this instead. Number one, the word prayer, just to line it out, in the Greek is the word, the general word for coming into the presence of God. It carries the idea of knowing who God is, and you are literally putting yourself in his presence. That is what this word and this thing uses. It's like a weak child coming. See this little kid with a little blankie? It's weak on its own, but when it comes into the presence of its father, you know it's protected and nothing can touch this little one. This is the picture of this word for prayer. Leaving all the heaviness of this world and stepping into the presence of the one who defeats it all. Now here's the cool thing about prayer, and I've never thought about this till recently. Prayer is not me just communicating with him, but prayer for each and every one of us, wherever you're praying, however you're praying, is you stepping out of this place for a moment and stepping into the place of holiness where none of that stuff can grab you or hurt you. Prayer is literally going from the natural world of our brokenness, and when I step into prayer, when I commune with the Father, when I talk to the God of grace, I am putting myself in the presence of God and out of the presence of this world. It's like a momentary lapse of the weight of this world. This quote by Alan Carr says, when we get our eyes off of our troubles and focus them on the face of our Heavenly Father, He grows larger in our hearts, and the problems we have grow smaller in our minds. The next word is supplication. Everybody say supplication. I had a case of that once. A shot cleared it right up. Supplication is a deeper word for prayer in the Greek. It speaks not of a flippant prayer, just coming talking to God, but this one is actually but prayers that arise out of the heart. How many of you know there's praying in the Scriptures, and then there is crying out to God in the Scriptures? How many of you know the difference? How many of you have prayed, our Father, Lord, thank you for this bologna sandwich. This is delicious. God bless us. Be with mommy today and help me not to kill my children. Amen. Right? And some of you are like, I pray that 1 times a day. So there's that. But then you also know this word supplication identifies this other kind of prayer when all of the air has been sucked out of your chest. When you don't know how you can breathe. You don't know if someone's going to live. You don't know if you're going to live. You don't know where the money's coming from. None of it. You have everything sucked out of your heart. That is what this word for supplication is. In Hebrews 5:7, it talks about this and referring to Jesus. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. And so this word supplication is when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember, he prayed so deeply that it appeared the blood was coming down his face. Remember, he wept and he cried out to the Lord. That is the word supplication. So instead of worry, this is the thing, it's a trade-off. Coming from worry, we come to pray, we get in his presence, we step out of this world, and number two, we come with these deep cries of, God, hear me, I don't know how I can last another minute. And then it says this, it says, come to him with everything with thanksgiving. Now think about that for a minute. Why thanksgiving? Man, if your baby's dying of cancer, how on earth can you come to the Lord with thanksgiving? Well, the answer is it's supernatural. But B, it's this. As a believer, what you are proclaiming as a follower of Jesus Christ is that you know He is the only answer. He is the only way. He is the only truth. He is the only life. And so the Scriptures say, come to me with your prayer. Come to me with your heavy cries of burdens. And when you do it, come with the heart of thankfulness, not because the situation is like, okay, God, I'm dying. Here you go. It doesn't look like that. What it is like, God, this thing wants to take my life, but you are sovereign. You are over this, and I am thankful I belong to you. I am thankful that even if this does take my life, it only takes a physical life. I have spiritual eternity gained in my heart for the kingdom of God. And so the Scriptures say, come with thankfulness, number one, because He is worthy to be praised. And you also need to be, this is a good thing for you, you need to praise God in your hardness because you need to remember that God is worthy to be praised. Amen? You need a reminder. Some of us get so entrenched. How many of you have the, I say it about Jen and I and a couple other families around here, but how many of you have the two sparrows in a hurricane syndrome? When you two start cycling together, right, and you guys like, you know, you're negative and then you bounce it off like Jen and I, when we're fighting, the best way for us not to fight is talk bad about someone else. Anybody know what I'm saying? Y'all are liars if you not know what I'm talking about. But what happens is I will start to spiral and spiral and spiral, and someone else will come in and make the spiral. It's like an avalanche going, and I will get this thing, this mindset going on in my brain like I am avalanching out of control. I'm so worried that now I'm so consumed and I'm so negative that sometimes the best thing for me to do is stop, shut it, anybody else, and talk to the living God of heaven. Because not only does He hear my prayers, but when I start to speak to Him, think about prayer. This is the process of prayer. Me, human, insignificant on my own, am walking to my heavenly Father, who is the creator of all things, the God of all grace, the one with all power, the one that can solve, heal, and fix everything, the one that can redeem everything, I get reminded, oh yeah, like I serve a good God. Like he is in control, I'm not. And the scriptures say that he is sovereign over everything. Nothing happens underneath heaven that God doesn't know about. And God is in control over everything. And not only that, but he uses all of your junk for your good. Everything. And so when you come and pray, the scripture says, hey, be thankful, not because the situation sucks, but because God is good. Amen? And it says, but in everything by prayer and supplication. What does everything mean? Everybody say this. Everything. Everything. Why? If you don't know this by now, nothing is random in this earth. You hear me? Everything that we come up against is spiritual warfare. Now, I know sometimes people say the devil blew out my tire on the way to church. I don't know if that's necessarily true. But there is also always war going on inside of you, right? Every situation that we come up under has the potential to go right for the kingdom of God. The scripture said we can glorify God in everything. Is that true or not? Do all things as if for the Lord, right? Everything has the potential of glory. And that also means everything in my life has the potential of not glory, right? I can walk in the flesh or I can walk in the spirit. I don't know about you, but I am a weak, fleshed human being. And when I try, how many of you go days without praying, talking to the Lord, and you end up doing something stupid? Anyone ever done that in here? I don't know what happens. I haven't prayed in 3 months, and I accidentally went to Vegas and got married to this woman I didn't know. How did that happen? That's an extreme case. I hauled off and yelled at my kids and cussed like a sailor, and I shouldn't have. Whatever your deal is, the scripture is clear. We cannot do anything out of the power of God. Even your righteousness, the scriptures say, is like filthy rags to the Lord. The good things that you do on your own are like rags, filthy rags outside of the grace and glory of heaven. Amen? And so the scripture says prayer and supplication over anything. James 5, 13 through 16. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise, giving it to God. Is any of you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you might be healed. There's this recurring theme. You cannot walk by yourself and be okay. You need the connected power of heaven to help you walk in a way that honors Jesus and that keeps your butt out of trouble, if I can say that any better. Amen? So the point is, this is why the scriptures talk about praying without ceasing. Amen? Why? Because God needs to hear your voice every day. Well, Rob hasn't checked in 3 hours. Something must be going wrong. He ain't talking to me. No. Heaven doesn't need your prayer. You need to get to the power of heaven through your prayer. You hear me? The number one conversation in my day is with the Lord, not because I have to, because I need him. How many of you in here would say, I don't need any more Jesus? I don't need any more power of heaven. I don't need any more peace that passes understanding in my spirit. Y'all, I'm telling you, prayer isn't a mandatory have to. Prayer is an absolute must because you need him. You need Jesus. And so the rest of the verse says, and the peace of God in verse 7, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So there is how many of you know there's a difference between having peace and having a supernatural peace from heaven? I have seen some of you rock stars go through stuff on earth that I would lose my mind and or shoot somebody. And you guys go through it and you just have this quiet, calm peace that I've never seen. It's not, that guy is really patient. I don't know what's holding this guy together, but it is not on earth. Amen? How many of you have gone through seasons like, man, I remember such intense seasons of my life where I thought everything was gone. Everything was broken. And all of a sudden in my heart, I couldn't explain it. I just had this heaven-bound supernatural peace that just held me. I wasn't thinking positive thoughts. I wasn't trying hard to have a good buck-up attitude, buddy. Like, the Lord took over. How many of you can testify to something like that in your life? Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Jesus said this in John 14, 27. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you. Let your hearts not be troubled. Neither let them be afraid." You see, believers, followers of Christ Jesus, have this injected supernatural access to peace that is beyond peace. I mean, in world peace, I love it, man. Some people give their lives for world peace. The scriptures say that is not coming. Do you realize that? World peace will not come. America will not unite under the umbrella of peace and this be a great place to grow flowers, cucumbers, and do Unitarian Universalism religion. It will not happen. It doesn't happen scripturally. In the history of the world, there's something like 267 documented, maybe years, where there was not wars going on. In the history of the earth, there's man here and we fight because we are jacked up. Amen? But as a believer, the scripture, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you." It's my peace, and it is not peace of the world. You know what I want to do when I watch news? I want to flip out. Right? Last night, I'm laying in bed, and down my street, I can hear through the window, 4 gunshots go off. Boom, boom. Pause. Boom, boom. And then about 5 minutes later, police sirens run into it, and I haven't seen it on the news, but I'm sitting there. I can sit there and try to go, "I need to go get my guns," which you may do anyway, right? And I need to stand at the door and make sure nobody's coming down my block, running away from the cops, or I can sit and settle in the supernatural peace that the Prince of Peace just told me could come my way. Here's the thing, y'all, is that you already have supernatural peace as a believer injected into your soul. The only thing that drives it away from us is when our minds take over and begin to implement our strategy for taking care of it, worry, and we walk away from the Prince of Peace. I wrote this quote last night. It says, "There's no way that you are going to continually have peace, the peace of God, without continually going into the presence of the Prince of Peace in prayer." And the end of the text says this, "He will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." If you look at the Greek words for this, your heart, the text that's in your heart, is the place where your emotions come from. How many of you need the supernatural presence and peace of God in your emotions? Any of you? How many of you do well when you just make decisions off emotions? Right? "I love you, girl! Oh! I just don't love you anymore. I don't feel it." Right? "This is the greatest job I've ever had. I want to have this job. And this is so amazing. I hate these people. What is the problem? What did I not see?" When you operate in emotions, emotions are a gift, right? I mean, like, I flutter love my wife sometimes, and I also want to shoot Windex at my wife sometimes. Those are my emotions, right? And what she wants to shoot at me is 10 times worse, I'm sure. Amen? Imagine what this poor woman has to go through. But man, so many problems. 10 years of horrible marriage that we had before the last 8 of 18 were horrible because we lived in emotions. We based our lives off emotions. And this says exactly what this text is saying. The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When I pray, what I am doing is I'm connecting to the source of God, and I need to be reminded that my emotions might be fluttering or they might be demonic, but God's truth is what I need to count my life on. And then it says, the next part is, and your minds. And this is the mind is obviously where your thoughts come from. How many of you need supernatural peace over your mind? Man, if we could just have a day where we can open the door a little bit, we wouldn't. If we could just open the door, Jess, and every single one of you, if I could tap into your brain, and I could go into your thoughts, not the thoughts that you tell people about or your counselor or your spouse. I mean your real thoughts, the ones that you have that even scare you. This is the place where perversion comes from. This is where predators come from. There is a deep pit in all of our minds somewhere to go beyond the limitations of things even you thought you could do. And if you're going to tell me this morning that you've never had a thought like that in your life, I'm saying either you're disconnected or you're lying. We have curse in our brain. And I am telling you that no positive thinking or Oprah is going to cure what's inside of your brain. This is what I tell. I believe that there are good people who have sexually abused people. I think there are good people on the inside of someone who has murdered somebody. Here's what happened. Somebody along the way, because of their brokenness, walked up to that threshold in their mind and they jumped over and they couldn't go anywhere to get help and they wouldn't go anywhere to get help and they gave in to the consummation of what was in their mind. Evil monsters on this earth weren't born evil monsters. They allowed the line to cross in their head because they would not submit to or walk into the supernatural peace and presence of God in their mind. And I know every church on every Sunday has one of these people at least sitting in the room. And I want to tell you this. If that's you, there is a place for you to be restored and rescued before you go beyond what is in your thoughts. Amen? Like, if we're going to talk about restoration and not let the worst of these come in here and actually offer them freedom in Christ, what are we doing as a church? Amen? Stop it before you cross the line. There's peace. There's hope. If you've crossed the line, come and confess and deal with the consequences, but be set straight in the kingdom of heaven. God can restore and heal all things. That's what the Bible says. It's not what man conveys, but it's what the Bible says. Amen? There's freedom for everybody. So in the end, I just want to line out some things. How do we get there? I just want to remind you. Just put some of these things up on the board. How do I get there? How do I walk in this place? Number one, you have to identify the place where your concern morphs into worry. You hear me? You have got to sit in your mind and ask the Lord to show you, God, what is natural concern? I'm a mama, and I concern for my children. And then you're going to have to see where the line crosses, though. When does it become idolatry in your head? Like thinking about your temptation to addictions. Like, you should be concerned, right? You should have concern. But some of you worry yourself right back into your addiction. I'm one of them. There has got to be the place where we identify, once I get here, man, I need help. And I need the supernatural presence of God. I need to be around the church, be around God's people. When I start to cross over this line into worry, I've got to get help. Amen? Number two, get real with yourself about what worry really is. I'm just a worrier. I just worry about stuff a lot. Let's just call it what it is. You're in sin. You live in a world where you idolize what's going on in your mind, and you don't deliver it to the King of Heaven. And by the way, every single one of us are guilty of this in one way or another. Call it what it is. Call it what it is. Number three, learn to seek Him first. It's so easy. Just wake up and flutter off your pillow and go to heaven. Oh Lord, I'm seeking You first. It really comes down to this. This is the best thing for you and me in my life. Every time I walk into a new place, like prayer is this thing in your prayer closet in the morning, but prayer is also, Lord, I'm walking into the house. I've been gone all day. Mama's probably already ticked off dealing with five crazy kids all day. Lord, I need You to come and lead me right now, because if I operate in my flesh, I'm going to fail. In the middle of fighting, if more couples would shut up for a minute and pray and seek the Lord first, how much damage could be avoided if we would pray? When I go to discipline my children and you know you've crossed the line, you know that difference between, oh, you bad girl, right? And that place where you are in a rage-fueled discipline action of your child that God would never do to you, you need to stop and pray. When you go to work, it doesn't have to be, Lord of the heavens cometh down now unto thee, thine vessel of thy appropriate workings for scheduling today. It doesn't have to be that. It has to be, Jesus, this is Your day. In my flesh, I'm not going to do good. God, come and help me. Lord, be glorified in what I do. Pray continually. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always. I don't want to. Yeah, but you need to. Yeah, but I don't feel like it. It doesn't matter how you feel. You need to rejoice to the living God. Pray without ceasing. Yeah, but I'm too busy. Yeah, but I don't want to. You don't understand. You're not going to do what you got to do well without Him. Pray without ceasing and give thanks in all circumstances. And so here's the thing. The scripture says this funny thing. It says, whatever you ask in Jesus' name, you can be sure, you can bet on, He's going to do it. And that scripture, as we've talked about a million times, is if you ask something in God's will, whatever, if it's His desire, if you ask it in His name, He's going to do it. Tell me how many of you on earth would go to the Father just genuinely today and say, Lord, I need your peace that passes understanding. Help me become a person of prayer. Just be real. God, I don't know how to pray all the time. Do you think the God of heaven will listen to you and go, you big idiot, why don't you figure this out on your own? That is completely backwards of what the scriptures say, and it is completely what most of us think. You don't figure it out on your own. You go to the place that teaches you and leads you. Again, some of the best prayers are, I don't know what I'm doing. I need your help. Help me. God, that is like a holy place. You just identify that you don't know what you're doing and you need help from the living God. That is the place where revival happens. When you think you've got it or you just walk around feeling condemned, I didn't pray again, like a stupid ping pong ball, you don't get anywhere. Go on your face and ugly cry. Look bad. Put your jammies on. I don't care. Get into the presence of the living God and ask Him to help you. God, teach me how to be a man or woman of prayer. Talk to me. Speak to my heart. Do something inside of me. And renew a right spirit within me. Clean my heart. And do you think for a minute that the God of heaven won't answer you? Back to the boom. Everybody say the boom. Worry is an enormous problem that plagues us all. It is a sin, and it needs to be overcome in our lives. But prayer is the way we overcome our worry and become people who walk in supernatural peace. What does your life look like? Just to end, what does your life look like? Supernatural peace. What does the Rico, what does the Devon look like? What does the Angela look like? What does the Brett look like when we walk in supernatural peace? Come on. You think the devil is the biggest thing plaguing your life today? Or does it have just as much to do with your mind and your consummation of yourself and the situation you're in? And God is telling us, listen, don't be anxious. And it doesn't mean don't have the presence of angst in your mind. Don't be anxious means don't hold on to it. Bring anxiousness, bring worry, and trade it. Bring it to Him. That is what prayer is. Receive the kingdom of heaven and freedom. Bring Him angst. Receive the kingdom of heaven and power. That's what prayer is. That is prayer. Stand with me and let's pray. Bless you. This is always my, you can kill us. This is always my thing when we come to this, like, I have no idea anything you're thinking in your mind right now. And I'm sure it goes to squirrel chasing, to angst, to, man, that guy's got good hair, whatever you're thinking. But here's the special thing about these seasons. We call this a ministry time because if the Lord is working something in your heart, and I would think, I'm not the smartest man in the world, but to think in this room that some of the people in this room that we love and do church with are not consumed with worry. I don't care if you're suburban, urban, black and white, green, yellow, pregnant or not. This is a sin issue. And God wants to set us free to walk in supernatural power. So that must mean that somebody in this room this morning needs to get on their face, needs to come into the presence of God and say, Lord, I confess my sin of worry and I need your supernatural peace. Man, that's got to be somebody in here today. So as we pray, I'm going to pray, and at the end of that, we're going to worship through a couple songs. There's communion over on the left and over on the right, the number one self-help place to relieve anxieties, remembering at the foot of the cross and the blood of Jesus that He has set us free from our sin, and He says He will come again. If you need prayer, we have prayer team people out on the side. We have the cross. You can just go kneel. Just stay where you are and pray to the God of heaven. Get on your face. Get on your knees and say, God, I need Your presence, and I need You to take this worry off my shoulders, God. God, help me. Lord, that's our prayer this morning. Lord, that You would come right now in the middle of this room. Lord, we know that Your scriptures say Your word never goes out and come back empty. Lord, I believe You want to reap a harvest of worry in this room this morning, and You want to take it to the demonic depths it belongs to and to set some of us free. But Lord, we have to come with confession. Lord Jesus, we live in a society that teaches us to wear these things on our sleeves and on our hearts. And God, we are citizens of heaven. God, help us to be free. God, I'm so tired of this burden of angst. God, we need Your supernatural peace. Lord, I pray for men and women in this place today that have not surrendered their heart to You. And they need to know that they should be worried. Because without You, there's no hope and there's no peace. This life will be hard and it will end even worse. In Jesus and Jesus alone, there is freedom for eternity and now. And they need to surrender their hearts to You. Just opening their hearts to You this morning to say, God, I need You. I believe You are here with me and I give my life to You. And I pray that they would do that today. Holy Spirit, come and work in our hearts as we worship. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.